Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for the very end of October. Pretty sure it's the end of October. Doesn't matter. We're here to talk for our extra super special...
Very special
Preventing Grace podcast about Halloween.
Right.
It's our annual Halloween podcast. And that's because we're Satan worshippers. We are worshiping Satan.
You be careful with what you say, because what comes out of your mouth might give Satan legal rights over your soul. That's what this article I just read said. Yeah, be careful.
Okay.
So you may have come from a Christian tradition in which, Halloween is Satan's birthday, or something along those lines. And if you take part in any kind of Halloween celebration, even a harvest festival or trunk and treat, you are in league with the Dark
Satan.
Lord.
If you put pumpkins outside of your church door to celebrate, to commemorate the changing of the seasons, you're in league with Satan.
Right. It's people who go. You have a relative, I think.
Me?
You had a relative. Remember how there's this kind of mindset
lately. I don't think.
But I'm not sure she's connected with your family anymore because of a divorce or something.
Something.
Yeah. So remember, it's this kind of mindset that she was very upset that Christians read
Tolkien
because there's magic in it.
Right.
And Narnia, because there's magic. They can't get past the literary aspect of things like Harry Potter or whatever it might be. And she was very upset with your grandparents because they brought home statues from...
all of the artifacts that they had from East Africa, each one had a special demon attached to it.
Right, so they wouldn't even come to their house. They wouldn't even come to the house, right? Is that right?
They
wanted to burn the idols? Is that...
I don't know. I don't think that was allowed to happen. My very saintly grandmother, who prayed to Jesus every night. I guess that's the thing. Your personal faith in Jesus is not strong enough to deal with the little
The Holy
wooden
Spirit
object.
Dwelling in you is not strong enough to deal with it.
Right.
So there's
that sealed thing about the Holy Spirit, that's not a real thing.
Doesn't matter if you read Tolkien.
Or if you have a artifact from another culture that may have been used for purposes not associated with Jesus,
then it's
you're nothing before that little wooden thing.
Right. So it goes back to this idea. So when you come over to the things like Christmas or other Christian celebrations, the same mindset will say, Christmas was originally a pagan holiday, which it wasn't, but let's just say, Christmas was originally a pagan holiday. So if you celebrate it, you're really worshiping Satan,
right?
It doesn't matter. God is so stupid;
he
can't figure out that you're not really worshiping Satan if you celebrate Christmas, because you are.
Because
way back eons ago, pagans may have been worshiping something else on that day.
Saturn. But you worshiping Jesus
doesn't matter. You cannot worship Jesus on a former pagan holiday.
No.
Jesus is not honored by taking a former pagan holiday.
Right.
And honoring him.
And honor.
On it. Right.
You think you're honoring him.
But
you're not.
Right. And then, of course, Halloween. And so, yes,
Halloween is the apex of this particular kind of... So here, I would like to read this long comment that... by an anonymous person on about Halloween. Can I read the comment?
Yeah.
Okay.
First of all,
there's a meme that says, the Bible condemns these practices, so why do Bible believers celebrate them one night of the year? And then there's witches, Exodus 22:18, vampires, Leviticus, I can't read that because I'm blind, wizards, Deuteronomy.
Vampires?
And ghosts
in Leviticus. Wait. Where does the Bible condemn vampires?
Okay, well, let me just see. But Leviticus 7:26-27.
Is that talking about eating anything with blood in it? Is that what that is?
Do you want me to look it up?
Yeah, let's look that up.
Leviticus 7:26-27. Heretofore unknown in biblical history, but it's actually about vampires. Leviticus, what did I say? 26?
Yeah, I think so. 7:26.
Oh, 7?
I thought it was 7 something.
As soon as I see a number, it flees from my 7:26. It flees from my mind, and I am no longer able to, because I can't see things. This is why I can't spell. I can't visualize numbers or words. The Lord, moreover, you shall eat no blood whatever, whether of fowl or of animal, in any of your dwelling places. Yeah. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people. That is so awesome.
I mean, I guess that
I am so happy right now. It's hard for me to contain my sheer, pure, unadulterated joy that Leviticus 7, 26 and 27 condemns vampires.
Well, I mean, I guess it does.
I mean, it really does. It really does. How did you,
Right, so all of you Christian parents allowing your children to drink blood on Halloween, that is really cruel. It's really horrible. You should stop that right now. You should forbid your children from biting people's necks, sucking their blood. I can't believe you do that.
I know, I can't believe. And you all thought, you Bible believers, you thought it was fine. You are totally letting your children become witches, vampires, wizards, and ghosts. Yeah, on one day of the year.
Wait, okay, so where does the Bible forbid ghosts? What's that about?
Leviticus 19. You're talking about necromancy? That must be. You want me to look that one up too?
Yeah.
19:31.
Because ghosts aren't real. Does this person know ghosts aren't real?
Leviticus 19. They're
demons. they're not really ghosts.
31. This is so wonderful. I heart evangelical Christianity in America today. Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Okay. Do not seek them out, and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God.
Right, right.
Okay, I really need to read the comment now.
Okay, Christian parents, if your child on Halloween is summoning a demon...
Please stop.
You probably shouldn't... Don't do that.
Please stop.
You shouldn't do that on any other day either.
Especially on Halloween. Stop with the drinking of the blood and the necromancy. And what are you even doing with your children? Okay, ready?
Yeah.
All right, here's the long message. I was never very into Halloween, but I did go trick-or-treating and handed out candy just like many people. I justified it by the cute costumes instead of scary or gory ones. I saw it as harmless fun for kids. In reality, my children hated to wear restrictive, uncomfortable costumes and ended up sweaty or freezing, itchy, whiny, and miserable.
All right, stop there. I see now. I can... So if she stopped the article there, I'd be amen.
No, because
our
feel
kids
like
love it, but I mean, I hate it.
It's important for children to suffer, physically, in order to receive a blessing of candy.
Right.
Like, they need to work. So the blessings of Halloween are about communism, capitalism, economics, and
right. You pour out the candy at the end of the night. And
you have to work hard for your reward. It's about Puritan bedrock values.
No, but there's
of
also
American
the
society.
You can also teach communism by having it.
You just take it all away then.
Put it in a big pile,
redistribute,
and divide it evenly,
and take half of it for yourself, and redistribute the rest. You take all the Snickers and the good stuff, and then you give the dregs, and you divide it equally.
Right.
Okay.
Wait. I do hate. I just want to say that while we're
We don't have to do this anymore because our children are old and they go out alone. I'm not. Not only am I going to let them worship Satan. They go out trick-or-treating alone. I'm not even going to go with them, even past the creepy house with all the heads in the window.
I forgot that we don't have to do that anymore.
They are old enough, and I'm staying inside with
That's
my
why
fireplace.
I hated Halloween with a passion.
I'm
always
going to light myself a little fire.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my mug of cocoa and my pumpkins.
No, but the dogs are going to be barking all night. Cause we're
no,
gonna be...
no. We're going to crate that little sucker.
Oh, yes.
This is going to be one of the best days of the year.
Okay. All right.
And here's another important thing for your Christianity. Add massive amounts of sugar dye. And you have a perfect recipe for meltdowns, tantrum sickness, and misery. It's not the sugar, it's the dye. Okay, and not fun for me or them. Days of begging for candy that I don't want them to have that gets tossed in the trash. See, no, let them eat all the candy. They worked hard for that.
Yeah.
That's really bad. But it's what we do. Halloween fun, right? Ask a teacher how much they love the day after trick-or-treating. Teachers are supposed to suffer just like everybody else. You know, it's just the changing of the seasons. Okay, ready? Here's the meat. Here's the Christian part where you repent of your necromancy and your vampirism. Until one day Jesus truly got a hold of my heart and showed me the truth. I wonder how it was that he did that. Was this from a bad sermon in a church or a blog post or like a meme?
It just sounds like sounds like your former relative, actually.
So you see, back then I didn't know the Bible well enough to stand with conviction. I'm going to go ahead and say she still doesn't know the Bible very well. I was easily tossed to and fro in the waves of deception. I was in the world and of the world.
Wow. So now she's not in the world or of the world.
Unrecognizable as one set apart. Called out and saved by the blood of Jesus. Okay, I don't like this called out business. I keep running into with the IFB preacher clips where you're like, you're supposed to be set apart.
Separate. Yeah. That's I remember, yeah.
That's not an Anglican thing.
No, it's not. But it is very much an IFB thing. You have to be...
Your hair better be long.
Yeah.
If you cut your hair, you are a Satan worshiper. How dare you? Okay, now no matter how one tries to justify it, the Bible is crystal clear on Christians having fellowship with darkness. What does that even mean?
Well, I suppose we're not to have fellowship with darkness. That's true. That the Bible does say that.
Where is it that we have fellowship with darkness, though? Like
on Halloween. Oh, clearly.
Okay. Trunk or treat at a church parking lot. Store to store in the mall, around the neighborhood, it doesn't matter how you participate. If you participate, you are consenting. Black magic is very real, and this is a high holy day for the occult.
Okay, wait.
So when you go trick-or-treating,
you are participating
in the occult. Even though it looks like you're going around...
You're just going to get collecting candy. Yeah.
In a princess dress. Actually, you're worshiping Satan. God can't tell the difference. He's so stupid. When it says that he can see every human heart, that's actually not true.
Right. He just sees the costume and then he goes, that's Satan.
You're participating in darkness. It's dark outside because you're doing it at night and there's a dark shield that prevents me from seeing your heart.
Right. And the Holy Spirit, you can just forget that. He's gone. Yeah. Once you put that ghost costume on.
He's completely powerless.
The Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
He's overcome by the white sheet with the holes in it.
This is my favorite part here. And I just want you to prepare yourself for a wonderful thing. Satan is a legalist.
Now, unlike this person. There's some irony here that you may have noticed.
He does not care that you are consenting out of ignorance. He is happy to take full advantage of your ignorance. Remember, he came to kill, steal, and
destroy. So there's a law here. I saw this in the other article I was reading before he got back in the car, where someone says, you participate in Halloween, you give demons legal right. Where's the law there?
It's right there after the don't covet thing. It's actually in Leviticus. In between the necromancy and the vampirism.
So, by dressing up in a costume...
You're giving Satan
a legal right. What is that? Where is this law? Really, there has to be some promulgation of this law somewhere.
Okay, after we read this, we're going to go over, because I feel like Stephen Furtick elucidates this in his sermon about how you have to take back from Satan. You have to get him to give you back your joy. Did you watch that clip?
No, I didn't watch
the clip. Should we do that now, or should we...
Or maybe I need to have this principle expounded.
All right, we're going to go up to Stephen Furtick because he helps us. He's going to help us here do this. Oh, wait. Wait, I have to get...
Okay. Now, we don't judge ourselves or measure ourselves according to the calling God has given us. We compare ourselves to a fictionalized account of somebody else's life. That's where you always get in trouble. Now get this point. You always get in trouble when you start comparing your calling to somebody else's. Because when you compare callings, you catch insecurity.
I love it when I'm preaching like that and people just break out in applause. Happens like every Sunday.
The applause during the sermon?
Right.
I like that his sweatshirt matches the background. It's like, it's coordinated.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
You need to do that. Your robe, well, it does, actually. They're both sort of an off, sketchy white. So it needs some help.
Sufficiency. When I think I'm not enough, you know, I'm not enough. Even the disciples, you know, it's not enough food to go around, Jesus. You need to send them away. How many times have I sent away something that God put in my life because I caught a thought that I'm not enough?
So if you say,
you caught a thought that you're not enough, and then you sent it away, and so you didn't get it. It's like, that has to do with the beating of the 5,000.
This sounds like the law of vibrations to me.
It is the law of vibrations.
So that you, by thinking you're not enough, which is actually the first step in accepting the gospel, where you say, I'm not enough, I need Jesus. but really what's happening when you say, I am hopeless by myself, and I have no hope in my own efforts, really what you're doing is you're sending away... What? You're sending away what? Legally, some transaction has taken place.
Yeah. Hang on. I gotta keep... I wonder if this is the wrong one, though. I might have to go up and find another one.
And around in the wilderness for 40 years. Not because of their enemy, but because of their thought.
Okay, that was the wrong one.
But that's pretty...
That's pretty awesome, I gotta find the one.
You better be careful how you think, man. That's scary. If you can, like, think yourself into the wilderness for 40 years.
This is the same sermon.
Right.
I hope this is the right one.
Thief, right?
Okay, here. This is the
devil. He can't take your promise. So now he wants to steal your thoughts. But I was reading something in Proverbs. Can I show you this real quick? I didn't get to show him last night. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30, it says, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he's starving. A thief is just a thief. You know the enemy is a thief. You can't blame him for trying to steal what he doesn't want you to have. But check the next verse. I love this. Verse 31. Yet if he is caught...
What?
Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold.
What?
So today we came into this service to catch a thief and to let him...
No, but...
Ooh, hang on.
Give me my joy back. Give me my peace back. Give me my wisdom back. Give me the joy of my salvation. Restore sevenfold.
But...
I caught a thought.
I love the organ.
Get Michael to play the organ back there when I start going into a riff or something and everyone's applauding, then Michael should come in with a ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Okay, so...
So, Proverbs isn't talking about the Levitical law where, in fact, a thief, if he's caught stealing, pays back fivefold what he's purchased. Really, what Proverbs is talking about is Satan...
Yeah.
Coming in to steal your thoughts. What kind of thought? Like your dream thoughts? Like your destiny thoughts? Like you have a dream and then you think to yourself, well, I'm not enough to get that dream. And say that opens it, that unlocks the door so Satan can crawl right in and take your destiny dream away.
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
He steals your joy. So what you have to do is get your sevenfold joy back from Satan.
And when you, well, it's great. Actually, you know, you might invite him to come and steal your destiny because...
You get more back,
right?
So yeah, it's actually better for you.
There's a problem here in this law. I wonder if God thought this out before he gave it to Stephen Furtick.
It doesn't even matter because he also can't do anything. Like, if you've given your soul to Satan on Halloween, God is absolutely unable...
Amazing how powerful Satan is.
Satan steals your soul on Halloween, then you'll get more of your soul back on the day after Halloween when you do whatever it is.
You get seven souls back, or six souls. You get more than one soul.
Well, anyway, that's the principle that we're working with.
To quote someone who has no expertise in this matter.
What is this God that you're about to quote?
All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out, for I have come down from heaven to do my own, not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, who looks on the Son whoever looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And then, you know, later on he says, no one can snatch them out of my hands.
No, but that's not true, because on Halloween, everyone that can snatch them out of his hand, because they're wearing a princess costume and they're running around getting buckets of sugar from the neighborhood.
No one can.
Or they went to a church parking lot and were given candy by churchgoers who were also having their souls snatched out of their hand by Satan, because it is Halloween, and no matter what you do or believe, there's no hope for you. Except, I guess, on the day after, you do get your soul back if you get it back.
Well, yeah, well, that's if you go to, like, the revival meeting or something, and you walk down the Stardust Trail. How is Satan going to let you do that?
I don't know. If he owns your soul, like, what can you even do?
Yeah, it's a contract.
Both in the world and of the world, so. Okay, my phone's almost dead, so I need to read the rest of this important comment Facebook thing. Because we're about to grieve God here in this. I have to go back. Okay, Satan is a legalist. He does not care that you are consenting out of ignorance. He's happy to take full advantage of your ignorance. Remember, he came to steal, kill, and destroy, and he is the father of lies, and the truth is not in him.
Actually, that text, steal, kill, and destroy, has to do with false teachers, but go ahead.
Don't be legalistic about what the Bible says. He works through deception, making evil look good and fun. Actually, one way you know, like, Halloween's not, it doesn't look that great. Like, everybody knows
I literally hate Halloween.
Okay. Does God excuse ignorance when he warns us not to take part in darkness literally hundreds of times in his word? I don't understand that sentence.
Hundreds of times God says don't take part in darkness.
Okay, so
and by that God means don't dress up like
Halloween. Yeah. Don't become a necromancer on Halloween. The prophets warned, the apostles warned, Jesus warned us so many times, yet we claim to be Christ followers and continue to look just like the world. We even bring the celebration of darkness into our churches. Israel's past is a picture of the church's present and future. Go read about what the Israelites were doing to grieve God and provoke him to judgment and wrath. And
see, yeah, they were like, they were actually doing necromancy. They were actually sacrificing animals to other gods.
And babies. Children on the walls of their...
And they were having religious orgies under every tree.
Every green tree.
Yeah, so...
Which is fine if there's only one green tree, but if there's like hundreds of trees...
There's a lot of orgies.
A lot of orgies.
So it's... So, Christian parents...
Stop with the necromancy, man.
And the
orgies... Why are you serving up blood?
Yeah, your tree...
What's wrong with you?
We're looking more and more like the world the more we have these goat sacrifices on Halloween.
You need to know and understand the Old Testament too, says this person. I feel like I do. Also, we're not ancient Israel, just incidentally. Like, I wonder if this person thinks that Trump is the trumpet of God. Or Cyrus. Because of the Old Testament. Okay, I know. I'm quoting, my church gives out tracts and uses it for outreach. Please find an example of fellowship with darkness being used as a ministry opportunity in your Bible. There are plenty of ways to share the gospel that do not involve compromise and disobedience. Take it to God in prayer, repent, turn from the darkness into his marvelous light. That's a comment.
Yeah, I mean, remember that time that guy, like, there was this horrible mafia type guy, and really horrible guy, hung out, all his friends were, you know, extortionists and prostitutes, and this guy comes along and claiming to be a Christian, Christ-like, and, you know, participates in a meal with him. Remember that?
Are you talking about Jesus or Satan? I'm so confused.
Yeah,
right,
it's hard to tell, isn't it?
I'm so confused. That's it.
But see, if you only would have known that he can't take, you know, things that are devoted to darkness and participate with them, then he would have been separated and set apart. He wasn't set apart enough.
Oh, Jesus himself was not separated enough from himself.
Right.
So, Jesus,
if he had only been more Christ-like,
more
he would have known this.
Separated from himself. When he was eating with Zacchaeus, who was a wee little man, he should have been separated from
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But so it doesn't matter if you're going to use Halloween to preach the gospel. It doesn't matter.
The gospel's not strong enough for that.
Yeah, you've become a demon.
And on this, the Holy the Spirit will right. be overcome by all the drinking of the blood that you're doing on Halloween.
Right. So all this to say, you know, there's no biblical basis for anything that woman said. I mean, literally no. So if you okay. want to celebrate Halloween, if you want to dress up, have fun.
I feel like
I don't think you should probably dress. Okay, don't dress up like a demon from hell.
Okay, but even if you do,
I don't think
like if God looks on the heart.
Yeah.
Like also, here's
I
two
think
things.
Part of it is mocking Satan.
Yeah, it's important to mock Satan. And make fun of him and have a good laugh.
Because he's proud. He can't stand being laughed at.
And two, it's important to pass out tracts on Halloween in your church parking lot and give away candy to little children.
From the neighborhood who are
dressed up like a Spider-Man and stuff. Like,
yeah, they're not worshiping demons. They're not raising people up from...
I think this year, instead of candy, we should give out buckets of blood to all the little children who come. He's playing a soccer game. Soccer's over, but it's not over totally.
Right.
We have a child here with us now.
Right, so we need
Marielle,
to stop talking.
Do you want to tell us about your soccer game? Do you want to tell the podcast?
What?
How your soccer game went? Did you play soccer?
Yeah.
Was it awesome?
Not really.
We saw you do some good things out there.
You were scrimmaging.
Kicking and things.
It's just something that happens with soccer. So, I mean, my phone's almost out of battery, but did you want to talk about this other article? The former Satan worshiper who's shocked that Christians celebrate Halloween in Destiny Image. Or the Swedish scientist who floats eating human flesh as a solution to global climate change. Those were two.
Are those related articles?
Well, I had them in both next to each other and in a thing. And there's also kale flavored candy canes
right.
are here to ruin Christmas.
Oh my!
So if you're looking for Satan on the internet, the kale flavored candy canes.
That's my
are
candidate.
Here.
Now, okay, so now, there is a resurgence of, you know, it started with the New Age stuff, but there's a resurgence of, teaching little girls how to be witches. There really are things. There really are parents out there who are buying their kids magic books to not Christian parents, hopefully, but
the witchery is on the rise. But
yeah.
that they've joined together against Trump. Did you read this?
Oh, the curse. They're going to curse him. Is that
yeah? There's going to be like a gathering of witches to curse Mr. Trump. Because I think that'll work.
Well, so we're not saying that magic isn't real. It is real. It's demonic. And we're not saying that there aren't such things as demons. There are demons. There's no ghosts. There are demons who show up sometimes. They don't have any legal right over you because you dress up for Halloween.
Also,
and there's nothing in the Bible to substantiate that. So, what articles like that are trying to do is bind your conscience to something other than the Word of God, and that's the definition of legalism.
Also, I think that you can even if you're a Satanist, you can turn and repent.
Yeah,
and then Satan literally has no legal right over you.
Right, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
So
at
your
that point.
Previous
Healed.
Satanism,
right,
is. Also not beyond the reach of God, who can see into every human heart and can redeem and reclaim the things of darkness
right.
and bring them into the light. Like, that's actually what's the point. That's the point of the whole thing, actually.
And if you feel a twinge of conscience about Halloween, you don't have to celebrate. You're free. You are free in Christ.
You don't have to
drink wine. You don't have to...
Church... Trunk and treats.
Trunk and treats. You can say, huh? You don't have to do anything on Halloween if you don't want to.
Right? I think it would be great if we did say that the trunk and treat was immoral and of darkness, because then nobody would have to go. And it's
like
it's really cold to stand
cold.
Out there giving little children dressed in adorable costumes, little pieces of candy, and talking to them and asking them how they are and meeting their moms and dads and basically being really friendly. One thing that's interesting about Halloween, okay, I do agree that you shouldn't worship Satan on Halloween. I'm going to go ahead and
say that.
Yeah. And I don't think you should do necromancy or become a vampire either. But one thing that happens and why I think Christians should go out into their communities on Halloween and not hold themselves up as we're planning to do in front of our fire, and that's that people go out in the street and they talk to each other and they're much more friendly than at other times of the year. Like, most people are shut up in their houses and are, there's not a socially acceptable way to meet and chat with people really much in this culture. But on Halloween, people go out in the street and they say hi to each other with their little kids and they might get talking. And so it's a good way to meet people, actually. If you wanted to meet people in your neighborhood, you could go out on Halloween and be friendly and, you know, try to get to know them. And then in order later to tell them about Jesus.
Well,
like, you don't have to worship Satan is what I'm saying on Halloween. If you go out and sort of get into the crowd, you could, for the sake of Jesus, get to know other people who you don't know so that you could tell them about Jesus. You look stunned.
It really is just like these, in other religious venues where, you know, hey, you were really guilty, but then you said this one prayer over and over again, and now God's fooled into thinking you're righteous again.
Yeah.
Because
God is stupid.
Yeah, he doesn't... So you were a Christian, but then you put the ghost costume on, and now the Holy Spirit has fled. It's just
you have to do something else magical because God is too stupid to understand. Well, I don't know, because I think human people like to turn everything into magic, make everything mechanistic.
Yeah.
So God, you can manipulate and control God by
giving him $1,000.
Giving him $1,000, $1,100.
Or giving Paul away $1,000.
Or folding the cloth at communion in exactly the right way. Like, if you're folding your purificators, you know, right and then left, rather than left and then right, I don't actually know which way they're supposed to be. Or if you light the altar candle on the right before you light the one on the left, I can't remember which way it's supposed to go. God will be confused and think that you're actually cursing him instead of just lighting the candle.
Or you could have been irreverent and he's angry.
Yeah, he'll be angry with you because he's a little little fairy who is not omniscient and not omnipotent and can't.
I mean, it's not. Yeah, or yeah. If you celebrate communion from another side other than the north side.
Oh right.
Then clearly it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Jesus's body is not available.
Or if you wear a chasuble.
If you wear a chasuble and
then,
a hat.
Then that Jesus says, "What are you, a papist?"
I'm not giving
and
you.
And flees away, right?
He has to run away. He can't see into your heart. That's the main thing. And if you're reading Tolkien and you're really moved by all the Christological images that are sort of scattered all over, you're wrong because it's not there. You've actually misunderstood. And the book was about Satan. All those Christological images were actually about Satan.
I mean,
how... Because God can't read literature either.
How depressing is life if you can't... I mean, all these things must be so joyless and...
Right.
Scary, you know, because you could say the wrong thing, you could think the wrong thing, and Satan could come and steal your thought. And, you know, you got to be careful not to think too much. So you got to dream big, but be careful...
not to dream small.
I don't know. You don't want to let Satan know you. How does he do it again? Because you say...
If he steals your thought, then you have to go back and get 7 better thoughts.
How do you do that? What do you mean? Do you just say, give it back?
I mean, I didn't listen to the whole sermon, okay. So I'm sure that Pastor Furtick would let us know if we'd listen to the whole sermon. but we only listen to video clips. I liked the IFB preachers, the guy who was explaining how if your hair is long. Oh no, what it was. Like if you need to obey the church and your husband. If the church and your husband are in conflict about the length of your hair. Did you watch this one?
No.
Because you're supposed to have long hair. So if you're a woman and you have short hair, or you even want to have short hair, you're in disobedience. Because your hair is your glory. And so you need to somehow like negotiate between your pastor and your husband about how you're going to grow your hair long if you've already cut it and you're in disobedience.
This is like part of a sermon?
This was a sermon. And if you just said to your pastor or your husband, well, whatever, I'm just going to have short hair, that disobedience is so huge. How do you even wake up in the morning? Basically, he was saying. But if you're properly submissive and say to your pastor and your husband, how long do you want my hair? And then you grow it that long, then that's good. Like, you're okay. This was not even a shouting one. You know how the IFB pastors walk back and forth and shout and, like, take their ties off and turn themselves into Rambo. Like, this was just a sort of a sorrowful small man who was a wee little man who was... This was a sermon about the length of the women's hair. So I always think, oh, that's so crazy. You know, why would you leave the church? Why would you become an ex-evangelical? Well, if you grew up on this preaching, I can see why you would run off to the Evolving Faith Conference and be like, please.
Right.
Nadia Bowles Weber, noted Satan lover, please. Explain to me how I can do whatever I want. Because you haven't had the gospel preached in your church ever. If it's all about how long your hair is. Of course, you're going to run to some other gospel that's about how you can do whatever you want as long as you're woke enough. You just exchange one for the other.
I'm just really a guy. That's for a whole sermon.
How did you miss that sermon?
I'll find it. Wow.
I've been hearing so many clips about the behavior of women is like the subject of the sermon over and over and over again. Why? What? Do they not have anything else to talk about? Like, is the Bible... What? They should go back and read the part about how you shouldn't be a vampire. At least that would be more interesting than how long your hair should be.
I wonder if women in the pews are like, just, you know, I can't wait till the next series on how long.
How long will my skirt be? Back around to the hair. Back around to the skirt.
Right.
Men should wear trousers. Women should wear skirts. Like, is there another subject of sermons for these kinds of churches?
I
bet at Halloween time we'll get a lot of IFB clips about Halloween.
Oh yeah, that'll be good.
I mean, we need to get online and watch fine, all
right,
these.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'm.
You're dumbfounded. Why am I the only one talking?
It's surprising to me, this whole thing.
What? Why is it surprising?
I mean, it's not surprising. It's so. So as a preacher, you have 40 minutes. If you're me.
30.
That's in the morning. That's not a lot of time. I know people in the pews think it's a lot of time, but it's really not a lot of time. And you have to, your choice of how you present the words that you're going to give. You know, you definitely want to have a biblical text, right? So let's say, like we were. I was preaching through 1 Corinthians, and we came to 1 Corinthians 11, the hair passage.
And all the women wore hats that day.
They did.
Every single woman in the church put a hat on and sat there staring you down, like, go on. Go on, sir. Tell us about the hats.
But
I've never seen you shake so much.
You were
sweating.
But I was not sweating.
Well, you sweat all the time because it's too hot.
Right. But, you know, you can preach, you can take that text and really devote your entire 40 minutes to the length of hair. Or you can talk about the gospel
about
in the
Jesus.
Context and Jesus.
It's like, Jesus. All the women came to hear about Jesus. That's one of the things that women in the church like to hear about the gospel, about Jesus, about how he has power to save them from their sins. That's a thing. How can they serve and love their Lord who died for them and incorporated in them into the mystical body of his Son?
I was reading a review
of
a book recently, and the guy was saying, you know, some churches, women's ministries are always about, like, how you raise your kids, how you're a good wife.
Right.
How you...
But then the men's ministry is like...
The Trinity or the, the doctrine of justification by faith. And then so the women are being made dumber by women's ministries.
I don't think you should have women's ministries.
Well, I don't mind having women's ministries as long as they're actually, you know, dealing with theology, not just
how... I mean, many women have learned how to read in this century, and many women have attended college and have learned how to, they can read and write.
So the men are studying
the Bible. And they have email accounts.
And the women are studying, you know, Sarah Jane Young's Jesus Calling, right? So,
but then when they go to church with the men, everyone hears about how long their hair should be. Speaking of Satan.
Yeah, I think Amy Bird talks about this kind of thing really well. But anyway.
Well, anyway, soccer's over, so it's time for us to go home and look for our Halloween costumes. Our children have been talking about it for a while, and I think we're going to have a Winston Churchill. And who was the woman that he always insulted?
Brady Astor.
So our oldest son is going to be a young Winston Churchill, and our oldest daughter is going to be a young Lady Astor. And they're working out their insults. Okay. They're going to go around insulting each other for the whole evening.
Winston, you're drunk.
You, ma'am.
I may be drunk, but tomorrow I'll be sober.
And you'll still be ugly.
You are ugly. Tomorrow you'll be ugly. Something like that.
So they're working on those.
Right.
I think we're going to have a Lucy from Narnia. We're going to have a Nazgul.
Now that? Oh, wow.
Ooh, whoopsie. From the child who apparently loves Satan
more than
Jesus.
Right.
And then, we're going to have the kid Clementina from Jeeves and Wooster. All of these are obscure and impossible to explain.
No one's going to know who they are, except for maybe.
And then we have
the
one more that I forgot. What's Gwendolyn going to be? What is Gwendolyn going to be for Halloween? Oh, she's going to be Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn is going to be Gwendolyn from The Importance of Being Earnest.
Oh.
Also probably not appropriate, but very literarily significant.
Yeah, it's kind of inappropriate. Wouldn't she be a little bit of a flirt? And...
Well, let's not speak of that. Her hair was long, though.
Yeah.
And she was properly... Her skirt was long, too.
That's right. That's true.
So it's going to be fine. Our children are not Satan worshippers.
All right.
So... Yeah, we'll let you know how it goes. But the one after this will be our super special edition, podcast edition of the Reformation and why you should celebrate the Reformation with your children. Not because you love Satan, but because you love Jesus. So, until then, enjoy your Halloween celebrations, and we'll be back next time.